Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Kevin Holden, CBS 58. Chuck will be back on Monday. Also, in corner number three of the Elimination Chamber, Bill Schmidt, down in Arizona. What's up, baby T?
You guys don't want me in an Elimination Chamber.
How you living, son?
In an Elimination Chamber. I'm doing good, guys. How's everybody doing? Kevin, nice hearing from you, man.
Yeah, man, good to be here. Listening to you getting ready for this thing, you are cranked up, man. You're not taking like pre-workout or anything, are you?
Well, I mean, I usually just a half a scoop, maybe one full scoop.
I learned
nothing too bad.
I learned about pre-workout a couple days ago.
I've never heard of it. And then we've got one more Elimination Chamber pod, and that is the bell of the ball at spring training. It's our own Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. Tool Man, what's shaking?
What's up, boys?
Hey,
good to be with you.
Yeah.
And, Elimination Chamber. I'm ready.
Here's the issue, guys. Now, if this was an Elimination Chamber, we would have to have Tim sign like a hold harmless agreement. Because, I mean, he's coming in here to a bunch of guys that are bigger dudes. And, I mean, he's all of about 160 pounds soaking wet.
I'm closer in body to Tim than I am to you, dude. I'm closer in body size to Tim than I am you.
You calling me fat or something?
I didn't say that.
I didn't say that. Right, that's fine. That's fine, Bart.
So we wanted you guys both on because there's so many topics that we've been talking about this week with the Brewers. And we're so jealous when it's post-game meets the big show that we want to kind of do that here. And Tim, I know that in about a half hour you got to chat with Craig Counsell, which we'll hear tonight on Spring Training Live and then next week on our show at some point too. But I wanted to first ask you guys about these new rules in baseball. And some of them are just, 5 seconds here. It's just dumb. The one that is really just upsetting me, Tim, more than I've been upset in any sport thing ever, is the 3-batter requirement for pitchers when you start an inning. Who does this benefit, and why is this a thing, Tim?
Well, Craig Counsell referred to that the other day, and he said it's somewhat minor that, the lefty specialist to come in there and just face the one batter, it's been sort of fallen to the wayside a little bit. You're expected to get in there and face multiple hitters. I do agree with him in a big sense that it will make pitchers, whether you're a lefty or a righty, it'll just make you better. I mean, it'll make your decision making as to who's in your bullpen that much better. So he looked at it that way. I think there's a little too much tinkering with baseball, and I agree with you, Bart, that some of these rules, you just question them. Where's the motive here? And the further we get or the closer we get to those rule changes, I think Manfred and you guys, and you'll talk about it, we'll talk about it, we'll shake out some things that maybe we're not seeing right away, and we'll have to probably see it, in process. I don't mind it. I do like pitching changes. I love the chess match. I love the cat and mouse game. A couple of years ago, Mike Matheny faced 5 batters with 5 different pitchers. So that for sure is not going to happen.
And two, Tim, I think this is one of those rules that I think actually has a possibility to speed up the game a little bit. There might be an actual noticeable difference for Rob Manfred in that realm. But I kind of agree with you guys in the ones messing around with regular season games. The in-between innings, everything 2 minutes, that's good. Yeah, whatever. But there's there's a sense of pride in a game that's been around for as long as baseball has, and that it is rather pure. I don't think that the game really needs too much tinkering and to move around different parts of that. And the three, I agree with counts, the three batters to be a limit or a minimum to start an inning, I don't think that's major news at all. Now, Wade Miley wouldn't have his infamous back-to-back starts in the playoffs if it was for that rule last year, but it to each his own. I'm not that worried about it to an extent that I think it's going to hurt the Brewers or anything. But what I do like, guys, is the All-Star Game stuff. The Election Day, I'm going to have to go through once or twice to kind of fully understand how it's going to work. But the Home Run Derby is cool to me. You throw $1 million in front of anybody, and you're going to get their best run. So I think this is going to have a better opportunity for us to see the Bryce Harpers against Manny Machado and Christian Yelich, and you know you're going to get more superstars, Javi Baez, into those things when you throw a little bit more cash out in front of it.
It's Bill Schmidt, Tim Allen, Kevin Holden, Bart Winkler. I'm glad you mentioned Wade Miley, because maybe the Brewers should have looked back into signing him again. Unless they start with the three young guys, I want to see Peralta, I want to see Burns, I want to see Woodruff. I've told you this to both of you, I want to see them starting, and if they're not starting, I want them to start in AAA. I don't want them to be in the pen. I don't want them to go back and forth. I want them to be consistent. I am not comfortable, if it lines up this way, Tim, for either Zach Davies or Chase Anderson to be the number two guy on this team right now. Davies, if he can get his command and pinpoint like he does when he's good, I'm more optimistic. And I know how good Chase was 2 years ago, but when you're in spring training and you're trying to work on not giving up home runs, and that's what you're doing in spring training, I've got nothing but worry about this pitching staff right now.
No, but there's some depth here, Bart, too, and we have to take a look at that. Counts has got a six-man rotation, but using five at a time, and that's the way he put it. So you do have a little bit of a bonus in that, you know, either Zach Davies or Chase Anderson. I think that's key. You know, to see both of them recover and stay healthy and do what they've done in the past. You know, maybe the odds may be against that for both of them to hit, but you do have the bonus of, man, you just need one of them, and then you're in good shape. Zach Davies, 17-game winner a few years ago. You mentioned Chase Anderson and being dynamite 2 years ago. Just get one of them back on track on a regular basis. Get them 30-plus starts, and they'll be in decent shape, even if just one of them hits this year.
Well, you better, because you can't bullpen for 162 games. And that, to me, what they did in September and October was amazing, but you rode those arms. And now Jeremy Jeffress' sore shoulder is going to keep him probably out opening day, probably going to start on the injured list. And I have to practice not saying disabled list, the injured list to start the year. With that gone, you still have Knebel, who's in the ninth, and you still have Hader, who you'll slide around. But we talk about great bullpen depth. Who's behind him? Who's third? Who's fourth? Who's fifth in the bullpen in your mind?
Is that for me?
Yeah.
I think there is. Yeah, there is depth. And I think you do have a Jacob Barnes, who has been known to have some success. Throws hard.
I actually forgot all about him. I was watching the game yesterday, and Barnes was in there. I completely forgot about Barnes.
There's Matt Albers, who, you know, threw 20 appearances last year. I think people were soiled by Albers a little bit. You know, the injury and then, you know, getting pounded a little bit. But, man, he was dynamite for 20 appearances last year. Jake Pietrzyk, who they picked up from Toronto, I think there's a guy. Alex Claudio is another. You know, one of these guys may end up in the pen. You mentioned it, and you don't like it, but Woody may end up in that pen. Josh Tomlin may end up in that pen. So there's several guys to choose from.
I'm interested to see, Tim, too. You mentioned Josh Tomlin. If he's that dude that gets the resurgent opportunity in that pen, because you almost think with how many pitchers they're going to keep, guys, that they will take one, I don't want to call it a reclamation project, but that's kind of what it is, right? Where you gamble low in hopes of getting somebody that gives you, you know, a 2 ERA through 60 appearances, and one of the big reasons why your pen is still as good as it was last year.
Well, I thought Tim was going to talk there. I thought you were talking to Tim. I tried to set up this round table. I thought it'd be smooth, but Tim was going to go.
You're adorable.
On there. One guy that's been getting a lot of attention the last couple of days. It's just four of us sitting here looking at each other.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Eric Kratz. Okay? There's been some attention on Eric Kratz the last few days. It seems like the Brewers really, 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 really want to keep him on the team, but they know that there is absolutely no way that that is going to be possible. And so instead of, like, cutting him now, you try to keep him as long as you can and hope that everybody, all the other 29 teams, are fine on catcher so that you can put him through waivers and stick him in the minors. Tim, I just don't see a spot for Eric Kratz on this team.
No, it's probably not going to happen, guys. I mean, it comes down to Manny Pena or Eric Kratz. I mean, it's that simple. Mm-hmm. I think the answer is simple, too. It's got to be Manny Pena. I'd be a little bit surprised if, you know, if they went with Kratz, and what do you do with Pena?
I mean, first of all... Go ahead, Timmy, sorry.
Kratz needs to be Baby Tausch's life's coach, that's for sure, because he was giving him some advice yesterday on his domestic life. Yeah.
There were some problems in Rivers, trouble in River City. But when you look at also with Kratzy, guys, there's a reason why he's played on so many different minor league teams. And he gets that situation. He understands, you know, where he's at and how he's going to go. But to some point, Timmy and Bart and Kevin, there's going to be an opportunity for a trade partner. And also, I think in retrospect as well, you know, you know Eric Kratz for a year, you love him, and then there can also be another guy that takes that role. It's not as easy to find in sports as you may hope and may think. The Cubs are still apparently, Theo talked about it in his year-end press conference last year, and it stuck with me all through the offseason, is that they're still looking for a leadership guy, a glue guy.
Kratz will be a Cub for sure, dude.
Well, no, but, I mean, he can go anywhere. He could go to the Cubs. He could go to the Cardinals. He could go to the A's. There's a lot of different teams that can always use somebody to help that locker room and help out their young players understand the grind of a season and understand what they're going through. And Kratz has gone through absolutely any situation imaginable. And it's going to be really, really cool to see where he ends up. And hopefully, you know, wishing him all of the best. But I agree with you guys. I mean, from a talent perspective, everybody knows you can't pick Eric Kratz over Manny Pena. You just can't.
You don't have the roster spots for three catchers because these days you carry so many pitchers. And that also puts all this emphasis on the utility player. Why Hernán Pérez is so important is a little less to do with his bat and more to do with all the positions he plays. And with that in mind, there are a couple of Hernán Pérezes on this team. So what do you think about Corey Spangenberg and Pérez? Yeah. And you know, how does that all map out?
Yeah, that's a battle that's going on right now, and that's on the table. I mean, you can't hide that. Spangenberg is very versatile. Ben Gamel, I think, is a lot more versatile in style of play than was Domingo Santana. So that is an advantage there. And you guys know, man, flexibility, versatility is absolutely paramount for this organization now. You can play multiple positions. Like an HB, Kevin, you mentioned him, and he's dynamite. He can do a lot of little things that equal, you know, a big role. But I think it comes down to, you know, a Tyler Saladino. He's in that mix. Ben Gamel's in that mix. Spangenberg. There's a battle going on, and it's acknowledged. I think it's probably going to be Gamel out of the chute here to make the team, and Saladino's going to end up going down, and Spangenberg. You know, what are you going to do with him? They're going with one less position player out of the chute here. It's going to be 13 pitchers. So quite the battle going on.
Tim Allen down in Maryville, or whatever you call it, Bill Schmidt there as well. Tim, I know you're going to sit down with Craig Counsell. What do you got planned for him? We'll hear that later today on The Fan.
Yeah, we will. And it's got to be sweet for him. I want to get his comments on, you know, being as experienced as he is, World Series and things like that. Was that run last year a little bit sweeter because it was his hometown team and a Brewers uniform? Want to get his thoughts on that. And also, you know, you learn along the way, and what has he learned from what he went through last year? And additionally, you know, what mistakes might he have made along the way? And I'm really interested in that. And pitching staff, Kevin, you mentioned the handling of the staff. Bullpenning these days, is that because of the personnel he's got, or is that just because of their philosophy and the wave of the future? So a lot on the table here.
Make sure you ask him, too, how he feels about all the fan guys that come cover the Brewers and never ask any questions in his press conference.
Will do.
Okay. Yeah. Tim, appreciate it. We will talk to you later. We'll hear from you tonight, spring training live on The Fan.
You got it, boys.
That's Tim Allen. And Billy, when it comes to how I've been feeling about this team and seeing the reports and watching some of these games, about a month ago I thought, okay, this team will contend, they'll be good, but I like what the Cardinals have done. I mean, they got Andrew Miller, I think.
Yes.
We keep forgetting about that.
That's
too.
Right.
Not just, I always mention Goldschmidt, but they got Andrew Miller too. That rotation's good.
Yes.
I think people are sleeping on the Cubs, not just people in Wisconsin, but like some of these projections that come up. They're not gonna win less than 80 games. And I kind of like a big year for you, Darvish, believe it or not. I think that he's going to be okay. With the Brewers, tell me one day that they're going to win the World Series and I'll believe you. Tell me one day that they're going to miss the playoffs and I'll believe you. Have you become any more optimistic or pessimistic about their chances to do what they did last year, maybe greater since you've been down there?
I don't know either way if I can say significantly my opinion has changed being down here for the last week and a half. What I will say, Bart, is I agree with you on that Chicago team. They're going to be very, very good because you look at a team that won 95 games last year, got nothing out of Yu Darvish, and really didn't get anything out of the reigning MVP, Chris Bryant. He played about 85 games last year and hit around 255, 260. Power numbers were down, and the Brewers were able to go in there and take it on the last day of the year. And also, the Brewers stayed relatively healthy last year. They had Corey Knebel go down early in the season. That was really one of the most the longest sustained injuries. And Corey was back in about 2 months. Christian Yelich went down on the DL for a couple of days. Then, you know, Ryan Braun took a couple of reps on the DL. But you look it up and you add it up, and they were a relatively healthy ball club last year. I want to go back a little bit to what Kevin was talking about with Spangenberg and Hernan Perez and who's going to make that bunch. It's interesting to me how you quantify still trying to take risks on hitting the home run potential. Because Corey Spangenberg, guys, was a former top 10 pick in the MLB draft. And that's something that David Stearns has loved to do since he's been here. Take shots in the dark with guys that were really, really good early on in their career, or really, really good at one time in their career, and try to kind of hit that lightning in a bottle, get a guy that you could depend on and lean on for a couple of days in this grind of a season. They're going to need some dudes to step up, and they're also going to have guys have career years, and guys have careers that for the rest of their career they're going to try to forget. So it's going to be a hell of a battle, but I think all these teams in this NL Central are just going to beat up on each other. And it's going to come down to the last week of the year and be really, really fun.
Billy, I was hoping to get, and hopefully I'm not on territory that you guys have covered a ton in the past, but you're there and you're getting this view of the new Maryvale Baseball Park, the new, you know, it has a different corporate name now, but it's a different facility, and I'm sure you've talked about this, but there is an effect that this facility has on the player, and this was the most important, you know, aspect of it. We were there, we saw pitchers kicking a soccer ball around on an agility field. We didn't see that at the old Maryvale Baseball Park. How have the players reacted in
your
mind?
They spent $60 million on a ballpark just to kick a soccer ball around?
Exactly.
They've been loving it, Kevin.
Yeah.
And you know what, man? It's a great point because when you're going to work every day, everybody wants to have a computer that is as fast as ever, and you know, and all their software works good, and you get jacked up when they put new toner in the printer, and oh man, it was firing out pages. I printed out 50 pages in like 8 seconds. You get jacked up about little things at work,
Billy,
that make your job easier.
How right about that you are is depressing.
Yes.
Because you're right. Like,
when the printer's flowing, it like changes everybody's mood around here. Yeah. Hey, new paper, it's like, new toner Friday.
It's like caffeine is like injected right into the veins. It's
my God.
right? And the whole mood changes. Last year, man, they were doing those agility drills with like a Nerf football out in the outfield of the game field because like that was the best surface that you were on. And you look at the new visitors clubhouse, man. We were talking to David Stearns yesterday, and he was just like, man, the old visitors locker room was rough. And now different teams are coming into the ballpark and seeing this brand new facility going, and you know, maybe the guys that aren't starting go and get a little lift in this visitor weight room, and oh, this is nice, man. They got some nice digs in here, and you kind of get a reputation going around the league of a place that takes care of their players. I know right now these guys are taking advantage of it in this camp, but also look for it a little bit later on in time, in a few years into the future. Especially if this team continues to have success, players around the league remember this when guys, veteran dudes, especially like Mike Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain, Ryan Braun, dudes that have some longevity in this league, start talking about how nice it is to be in a facility that really is top of the line all over the place.
Bill Schmidt, appreciate the hard work you're doing. We'll hear you on the big show and then on the spring training live show tonight. Spring training coverage brought to you by the Milwaukee Admirals. Hashtag We Are Milhockey. See you,
all
Billy.
Right, boys. Take it easy, man. Thank you.
That's Bill Schmidt. He's down in Arizona. Tim Allen is as well. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Billy, you still there?
I'm still here.
Hey, what car did you get over at Hyundai West Allis?
2012 Hyundai Sonata, baby.
Ooh,
baby.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I lean back in that. It's like a little, you know what's interesting about it? It's like a silver, but like a light blue, and it's the sun. Ooh, it is sweet. I look real good in that thing. But the issue is, I'm a bigger dude, and I can stretch out. I still can ride a little bit lower, have the seat back. And my arm, when it's out the window, is still in the driver's seat. That's my favorite part of it.
I've got the 2018 Santa Fe Sport. Mm. So a little bit newer of a car.
That's what happens when your name's on the morning show.
Well, Ellerson gets cars that aren't even on the market yet.
From those guys. Did that.
I don't know how that's happening.
Yep, you learn some stuff. You learn some stuff working in the afternoons. I'll tell you that much.
Hyundai West Allis, you can check them out. Again, Billy's gone there. Gary's gone there. Sparky's gone there. I've gone there. We don't agree on a lot, but we agree on those guys. Dan Richards, Sith Lord, Brian Butler in the service. MF-er Mike is over there.
Yes, he is.
The Polish Hammer is over there. Not our Polish pipe bomb, the Polish Hammer. So real good crew. I know you love working with those guys. Billy, I do too.
Yeah, and our Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski, is down here in Phoenix with us. We are learning some stuff about our radio coworkers, Bart. I'll be able to fill y'all in when we get back.
Oh, my good God. Hey, thanks again, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys. Take it easy. Have a good night.
He's gone there. I've gone there. Again, that's the thing we agree on, Hyundai West Allis. These are great guys. I always said it's about having like a friend in the industry. You always want a plumber guy or a grill guy or a garage guy. You want a car guy. And I've had bad experiences with cars. My own flesh and blood, my uncle, sold me a car when I was in high school for $500. And it died the next day.
What?
And he said, oh, I tricked it out. It was fine when I sold it to you. So if I can't trust my uncle, who can I trust? I trust these guys at Hyundai West Allis. Get in there when you need a new or used vehicle. If you've got friends that need one, if you just need some service done on your car, even if you didn't come there in the first place to buy the vehicle, they'll help you out. HyundaiWestAllis.com, Highway 100 and Arthur in West Allis, HyundaiWestAllis.com.
This is Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're in a win now mode all the time. I thought we needed to add to our defense significantly, and I think these guys will. I don't think that's any different than it ever has been.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Kevin Holden in for Chuck, who will be back here on Monday. A little bug going around.
Yeah, it's been bad.
Knocking everybody out.
It's been bad. For us, it went back to the Super Bowl. We had a photographer who was like just crazy ill. We drove down to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
By the time the Super Bowl was done, everybody in the group got sick. There were five of us. everybody was sick. Then we came back and gave it to everybody in the newsroom. So it's probably just making its way to you now.
So there are five of you. What were your hotel accommodations? Did you all go in one room? Because you're on a TV road budget. Fleabag Motel?
I suppose we can... statute of limitations is passed, right? I can do this?
You don't have to answer.
That's fine.
We can go into Packer stuff.
No, we were... I'll be quick. We were... someone who did not go on the trip booked us into an Airbnb in what was referred to as a revitalizing portion of the city of Atlanta.
Sure.
When it's mentioned in hip-hop songs, probably not where you want to go.
Okay, so how was your stay?
There was a smell that resembled some sort of carcass, and it only got stronger as the weekend went on. And then there's this legendary video. We're on the third floor of this house. There's a dude on the second floor that got up at 5 a.m. and played at full volume this, like, heavy metal sounding music for like 2 or 3 hours every morning from 5 to like 8.
You got a good little session before the big day.
So there's a video of us, like, me walking down the stairs, and of course you see like the door and all the rust, and you know, like it's bad, right? The whole area is bad, and that music is also playing at full blast, and it's 5:45 a.m.
See, I know Airbnb is big where you stay in someone's house. I don't know if I'm down for that. I like I like staying in hotels.
Yes, there's service to it.
My family, when we grew up, we didn't camp or anything. We've got people in our family in the hotel biz.
Yeah.
So when there'd be new hotels that would open around Wisconsin, we go spend a weekend to like be part of their soft opening.
That's awesome.
So we would do that. We'd spend a weekend in a hotel, go to the pool, order pizza, watch movies. And that was like us camping, which is probably one of the reasons I like staying inside so much rather than being outdoorsy. But it's also, I like hotels. I like, and I know that there's, you know, when you stay in someone's house, you're just in where one person stayed, and who knows what people have done in your room in a hotel. But for whatever reason, staying in someone's house feels way too intrusive to me. And when the DNC announced that they're going to come here, I think a lot of people thought, oh, I'm going to Airbnb my house that week. I just don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, on either side, right? As a renter or as a rentee.
I'd have a harder time being a rentee. What's the one where I rent the house?
A renter.
Renter.
I guess. I don't know. Well, yeah, basically the one where you rent it out.
I don't know why that was so complicated, but it was.
But because you don't know who's coming into your house. You like when in this place, this Airbnb that was just a nightmare and a half, like that one of the bathrooms was completely not functional and there were two in the whole place. So that was basically there was one bathroom for five people. But we did have access to the host Netflix account. So we spent all our time like creeping in his Netflix habits. You know, like when we weren't working at the Super Bowl, we were like, he watches that?
I would creep. I would snoop all over the place.
Yeah, sure.
And I probably shouldn't say this, but since you talked out of school, I will as well. When I get hired in a new job.
Yeah. Oh, boy. You made yourself laugh that time.
Hold on.
Yep. He's got to cough it out. Go ahead. You're almost at the weekend. Poor Bart. Limping to the weekend.
One of the first things that I do is I make sure that I'm either, and I have done this in every place, so I make sure that I am there after hours or on the weekend, and I just snoop around. I look through everything because I want to know about the place where I work. God. I want to know how the sales department works. I want to know how my other guys prep for shows. I mean, I just snoop. I snoop in the open, our email here or in our computer. You can look at anybody's stuff. I snoop around there. Whatever file cabinet that opens, I look through.
That's great.
I just snoop everywhere because I want to get a sense of my surroundings.
Dude, that's a fantastic, it's a smart idea.
It's like if you date someone, hey, I hooked you up with this girl. You're just going to go show up. Nobody does that anymore.
No.
You go to her Facebook, you go to her Instagram, you snoop.
Right, you learn
you snoop,
some things.
You snoop, you learn.
Yeah.
So why should I get a... why should I play from behind if there are the tools for me to get a head start
right.
and learn everything I can about the people I'm working with?
No, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
And I snoop around.
You don't ever have to say anything. By the way, if you did that at my first place of employment, you would have found a wall with these weird posters on it, and then you would have gone to the other side of the wall and realized that there was this gigantic hole in the plaster.
Oh, nice.
These two teenagers were wrestling in the lobby of the radio station where I worked when I was like 17 years old. I was not one of them, but these other two teenagers, one of them picked the other one up and threw him through the wall.
Interesting.
Like, literally, he went through. The plaster broke, and he went through to the other side, and they had to replaster that whole wall.
And they just postered it up?
Yeah. It was like, inspirational words of whatever. Why is that there?
I mean, we did that in our college dorm.
That's essentially what happened. I mean, it was the station turned into a college dorm.
I think one thing that, as we transition away from me getting in trouble at work and you too.
Yeah, sorry.
One thing is we've been kind of doing the show today and monitoring some of the social media is we've just seen more of this back and forth between Bears fans and Packers fans about now we have something else to fight about. We always have something to fight about. And the new thing is essentially us, I'm an owner, I can say that, us signing Adrian Amos and then the Bears signing Clinton Dix is essentially a swap. In the swap, by the way, Goody was able to get a fourth round pick, okay, from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's comparing the two. And you're going to have Bears fans who throw stats in your face, and now they're saying, oh, Amos is overrated. Everything that he looked good was because of Eddie Jackson. The defense made him look good. Clinton Dix, how did the Packers ever get rid of him? You didn't hear Bears fans say one complimentary thing about Clinton Dix when he was in Green Bay, but now they're tripping over themselves. Clinton Dix is a good dude. He was just back in the area, I think, donating money to Franklin in his time. I've got no beef with Clinton Dix, the dude.
Right.
When I watch him on the football field, his stats, he gets some interceptions. Some he earned over the years. I'm not going to say he never earned anything that he got.
Right.
But if there was a tip ball, it was like, was it Mike Brown with the Bears?
Oh, yeah.
When they went 13-3?
Right.
Was Mike Brown really good, or was he just at the receiving end of these tip passes? Right. Clinton Dix kind of, you know, was in the right place at the right time a lot. And when it came to tackling, you saw it, guys. He did not like to give contact so much. And so now you see Bears fans tripping over themselves, as I mentioned, trying to tell you how good Clinton Dix is. This website, Walter Football, this guy is a national football guy. He ain't just a Bears fan. WalterFootball.com. I find this signing to be unbelievable. How could the Bears get Clinton Dix for just $3.5 million in 2019? It's insane. This is the best signing of the offseason.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not even close. If I gave out A++ grades, this would earn it. Actually, this is my website. I will give out an A++ grade. The Bears get an A++ grade for this absolutely absurd signing. That can't be real. Clinton Dix is not A++ anything.
Do you remember, see if I have this right. You remember the first week that Clinton Dix was in Washington, and it was the same guy, like Washington fans were like, oh my goodness, we just got this dude.
Yes.
And you remember, am I remembering this right? After the first game, there was that extreme buyer's remorse. Wasn't like half of Washington Twitter like, oh my goodness.
Well, there were many plays where he got burned.
Right. And if it's known, and at this point it's known, if you have, you know, film scouting, I mean, we know about it, so you know the NFL assistants know about it, that you can run right at him and he's not going to tackle you, that changes philosophically how a team is going to play against him on defense. It opens up a weakness, right? It's going to change. You know who's about to get a huge jump out of this? Aaron Jones.
Yeah, anyone in that backfield.
Right. Aaron Jones just got better because Clinton Dix is on a competitor.
When they play the Bears, for sure when they play the Bears, I if you look at the stats, you can argue for Clinton Dix. But when you watch him, I mean, we've seen it the last 2 years. And it's another thing that we are going to fight about as fan bases because we can't resist it. And I'm going to bow out of this one. We're talking about it now. I'm going to step back. I'm going to let them realize it on their own. Because sometimes, you know, you could take advice in life. You can say, Bart, when you go to a new place of employment, don't snoop around your coworker's stuff.
No, you got to do that.
But sometimes you have to do it and get caught before you realize it's wrong.
Wait, are you saying you got caught?
I haven't got caught yet, so okay. I'm going to keep doing it.
I see.
I won't take your advice. Sometimes you need to learn that something is wrong on your own. Beer Count Kenny, West Bend, How many deep are you this morning? It's Friday.
Hey, you know what? Not yet, guys. You know what? I got a busy day today. In fact, I'm on the road. But, yeah, you kind of, you know, to forward your point there about Clinton Dix, you're 100% right there. When he went to Washington, first of all, if you remember, those are some of his buddies that were advocating to get him in Washington. And once he got there, he, for lack of a better term, pooped the bed big time. In fact, they sat him down a couple of weeks. So he's got all kinds of issues going on. On the converse with Amos, the Chicago radio people were nuts that they got rid of him because of all the compliments that were being paid to him by his co-defensive players, including Eddie Jackson, who said the guy is a tremendous student of the game. He has helped out with our secondary like there's no tomorrow. The guy really knows what the hell he's doing. And in the free agent market, he was a top five safety that was out there. So I think the Packers, you know, in the end, this team is destined to move forward with new management, a new head coach. They're doing all the right things so far in terms of getting people to fill those roles needed because they realize they've got an aging Rodgers that has been injury prone. You've got to get it today. You don't have any other opportunities but for today to move this team forward. So I'm looking for good things out of this Packers and their free agent pickups.
Hey, Kenny, when Gutekunst says this.
This is Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're in a win now mode all the time. I thought we needed to add to our defense significantly, and I think these guys will. I don't think that's any different than it ever has been.
He says that these moves, these four free agency moves, have nothing to do with Rodgers' window. Do you buy that?
Absolutely not. In fact, that's more smoke and mirrors. You know, Gutekunst and what the Packers are doing now remind me a lot of what Stearns and Antanasio do. They don't telegraph their moves. Nobody knew that the Packers were going after these guys. Nobody. And although it was speculated what the Packers needed, they weren't telegraphing what they were going to do. So it's tremendous kudos, but no, I don't buy into that statement. That's nothing more than for the media, more so than anything else. The Packers are going to play close to the vest. They realize what they have to do in the short period of time, knowing Rodgers, you know, scenarios with health and everything else. So they want to get it done. You know what I don't want to hear anymore? Jesus, one day on Twitter and all over about the Jordy Nelson thing. Bring Jordy back. I'm not a fan of retreads. I don't know what you guys think, but
I thought I saw you tweet that you wanted Jordy back.
You're crazy. You did not see me tweet. That I would not tweet. Now, Jordy's a good guy. Don't get me wrong. Would he fit in as a slot receiver? Sure. But you know what? At some point in time, when you let somebody go, you just move on. You know, you move forward with the team. And this new offense, I think it's going to be pretty damn dynamic.
Kenny, thanks for the call. Enjoy your Friday. Stay safe on the roads. Let's get out to James, who's in Bayview, at 799-1250, 414-799-1250. What's up, James?
Hey, you know, you're talking about stats and ha-ha Clinton Dix, and there's a couple and Amos, and there's a couple of interesting stats. If you look at the Redskins before and after Clinton Dix, before Clinton Dix, they allowed more than 22 points, I believe once, maybe twice in all the games before, and only gave up more than 400 yards once in all the games before. After Clinton Dix, they allowed 22 or more points. Five out of six games, and they gave up an average of 426 yards a game after Clinton Dix.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's one stat that makes obvious sense since we know Clinton Dix.
If you're just looking at that, I'm glad you brought that up. And if you're just looking at the numbers, I mean, you can argue for Clinton Dix off the numbers. We've watched Clinton Dix for multiple years. I mean, he got to a point where he just wasn't the safety he used to be. And in the last couple of years, and was it the Hundley season 2 years ago?
Yeah.
James, thanks for the call. When they played the Vikings and it was a meaningless game, they lost 16-0 and he looked terrible. But then there were games last year where you thought, okay, well, that's the last game of the season, whatever. He just never got back to what he was that Pro Bowl season.
No, and there was, as it began to disintegrate at the end of 2017, there was obvious frustration on the part of Clinton Dix. And it's not that a player can't be frustrated. I think that's, you know, it's a player's right to be frustrated. It's something that you're building toward that begins to fall apart. But it's also up to you to how you handle it. And I thought he was really, he was one of these that, that was speaking his mind openly, but in a way that it was like, I think I'm just listening to this dude vent. You know, it's not, we're not going constructively. He's just venting. And there were a couple of moments like that. By the way, real quick, Washington's season, trade deadline was November 1st, right?
Mm-hmm.
Redskins after that point won one game, two games. They were 2-2, if I'm reading this right.
Did they start Josh Jackson a game?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
he got a win, though.
Yeah.
He did.
That was late, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the one that I was, yeah, that was over the Jaguars.
Well, they
what a mess.
Went in the tank, too.
Boy, they did. But they, I mean, this team had nothing left at the end of the season. They, I mean, again, not that HaHa is going to make you win or make you lose a game, but this whole thing about how if he makes you a ton better, I think he might fill a spot. But if the Bears think he makes them a ton better, I don't think that's right.
Kevin Holden, CBS 58, in for Chuck Freeman today. I'm Bart Winkler reminding you about the $9.99 burger combos at Perkins, where you get burgers and fries for $9.99. That's not it, though. You also get a slice of pie. So you get the pie, you get the dessert with the meal. You don't have to go, do I get it? Do we get it, honey? Do we get it? Oh, you get it. I'll get it. Let's split. Just get it. The $9.99 burger combo served with fries and a slice of pie at Perkins. These burgers are thick. They are piled high. The breakfast burger, oh my God, I'm so hungry. You get the patty, and then they throw on hash browns and bacon and cheese and an egg all on the bun there. Stacked up. I've got a picture in front of me. You can verify.
Oh, that's why you're so hungry. Look at that.
You can verify how big those are.
Oh, my goodness.
Check that out. $9.99, get you a burger, fries, and a slice of pie at Perkins. Kids eat free tomorrow. Take your family out. And when you get a meal, kids get a free meal after 4 o'clock Tuesdays and Saturdays at Perkins. Served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Kevin Holden in for Frames. Be back on Monday. Sam Schmitz is taking the reins of the producer role today. Sam, what did we not get to today?
First story, Zion Williamson returned to Duke yesterday just in time for the ACC tournament. He went for a perfect 13-for-13 on the floor for 29 points and 14 boards. Duke faces North Carolina tonight, the same team that Zion's infamous shoe exploded.
I saw some dude tried to trip Zion last night.
Yeah.
Grayson Allen?
Very visible. Somebody joked that Grayson Allen just graduated from Duke and like, come on, like give him a break.
Is he with the Jazz?
He's like in the G League or something. Yeah. He's not doing much.
He goes to Oshkosh, see if he trips people up there.
I mean, good for Zion for having a nice night. I wouldn't have come back if I was him.
At this point, you're talking about a couple of games, right? Like two or three in a conference tournament, and hey, maybe they go four or five deep in the NCAA, but yeah, especially if it's tender at all, if there's any concern at all, I mean, you're talking about a gigantic pay. Like, I'm normally not in favor of that sort of thing sitting, but I don't know. In his case, maybe.
College has to be coming to a breaking point soon, doesn't it? I mean, there's this Project Varsity Blues thing that's getting people, and if you're seeing... If D2 lacrosse coaches are taking bribes, what's a D1 basketball coach doing?
Yep.
So I just, you assume in college sports, you assume everyone's guilty till proven innocent.
I think that's not that far off.
How can you have a system where it's fueled by millions of dollars?
Right.
And then the people that play get nothing, and there's not going to be any sort of payment for them.
Well, because there is a payment for them, it's just...
Oh, right. We just all pretend it doesn't exist.
Right.
I think they should, like, at least, if a player gets injured in college, the school should have to pay for that. That's my opinion. If there's any type of compensation, it should be, like, if the player...
But then it's like, how much? Could he have gone to the NBA? What if he gets hurt as a freshman?
Yeah,
well,
true.
Then you have a guy like Frank Kaminsky who got better each year that he was there.
Right.
But if he gets hurt as a freshman, they just give him 30 grand. But if he got hurt as a senior, you give him a million.
I mean, insurance companies do that, though, right? They have tables and stuff. They, you know, they deal with those factors. I feel like someone could work that part out.
Yeah. Next story.
Okay. I don't know.
after the Raptors beat the Lakers last night, there's video of LeBron James and Kawhi, you know, dapping up half court after the game. And there's a video where you can see LeBron saying, "We'll be in touch." Thoughts
okay.
on that?
I don't know if anybody's going to go there.
Yeah. L.A. and New York especially, they don't really seem like very attractive free agent destinations with what's going on.
What world do we live in? L.A. and New York are not attractive free agent destinations, and people are just like running out of San Antonio to come to Milwaukee.
Well, they're run terribly. I mean, the Lakers are not a well-run franchise
right.
over the last 5 years. I mean, they were good with Kobe and Shaq. After that, they punted a year to say goodbye to Kobe, which I think was a huge mistake. And then this LeBron thing is supposed to turn out fine. I don't think Magic's that good of an executive. He's always tripping over himself.
Yeah.
The agent's running the show over there, which got them in trouble with the Pelicans. So maybe there was a chance they get Anthony Davis, but he kind of screwed that up. And now the Pelicans are mad. And then you have New York. Dolan's a monster. The owner over there, James Dolan's an idiot. Nobody's going to want to play for him. If you're going to go to L.A., I mean, the best place to go is the Clippers.
Isn't that crazy?
I was literally just going to say that. Like you got Lou Will putting up like 23 points a game off the bench. You got great players over there. Danilo Gallinari.
They're good.
And I think they have just as much money as, you know, the Lakers and the Knicks.
Yeah, they've got max spots because they got rid of Tobias.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if anything, Kawhi would go to the Clippers before he goes to L.A.
I would agree with that.
Lakers, yeah.
I would agree with that. I don't know who's going to go to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Maybe Kyrie.
You know what?
Maybe rejoins with LeBron. I think that could really happen.
Yeah,
that's what
I'm
gonna go
with. They seem like they broke up and walked back together.
Especially after those comments came out where like Kyrie's like, "Oh, I missed LeBron. I didn't take the situation in all of what it was worth and all that." Come on.
Kyrie going to the Lakers, I think, is the most likely. Durant maybe. They are buddies.
Durant's really interesting. I don't know what's gonna happen with that.
I think he'll leave.
I think he's too soft for New York media.
What a change.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, he's too soft for Golden State media.
That's crazy. I covered him the year in college, and like the dude, I mean, that was 500 years ago, but the dude I saw was just nothing like this guy.
Yeah.
He was shy. You know what I mean? He was like, wow, look at this world of whatever. I mean,
what a point. You get fed up a little bit.
That's true. I mean, he had that pressure on him from day one.
One more story. Anything else?
All I got really is just it's actually just reported that Jeannie Buss was contemplating trading LeBron at the deadline after frustrations regarding the AD trade. This is according to Bleacher Report, so it's a legit source.
Really?
Yeah. And we were talking about it before. LeBron doesn't have a no trade clause. It's like a 15% trade kicker in his salary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had wondered if he had a no trade clause. I thought that was part of it.
More drama in L.A. as it is.
Just trade him back to Cleveland. Kyrie go back to Cleveland.
Could you imagine?
Pretend like it never happened.
Like next year.
Like the year of Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
It was all a dream.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
but that Laker thing was fun.
Now I'm referencing Dallas on the show.
And not the Mavericks.
Not the Mavericks.
Not
the show
Luka.
Dallas with Patrick. What's
Duffy.
His name? Duff. I was going to say Ewing.
Patrick Ewing.
All right,
what
I
is
need
his
to sleep.
Name in the show?
I
is
need
Ewing.
To sleep. It's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Yeah, that's why.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes, streaming on Hulu.